My brothers and sisters, today, the second Sunday of Easter, which is also known as Divine Mercy Sunday, a devotion which was approved by Pope St. John Paul II, which I will speak of later. We are continuing this week our Easter series, which is called Eyewitness. The I being the letter I, meaning that I am to be a witness to my faith in Jesus Christ. The apostles and other disciples that saw and encountered the resurrected Christ went out into the world and proclaimed the gospel and the ultimate proof that Christ is the Savior of the world is his glorious and triumphant resurrection. They went out into a world which is often pagan and did not know the true God. They gave witness to the faith both by word and by action, with many of them making the ultimate sacrifice of their faith in dying as martyrs, even when their persecutors demanded that they deny Jesus in order to save their life, they would not. Why? Because they had seen the risen Lord, and their faith in the resurrection and eternal life that awaited them gave them the courage to endure the trials and sufferings of martyrdom. Even St. Peter, if we remember, who denied Jesus three times on Good Friday, would go on to win the crown of martyrdom in his own crucifixion in the city of Rome, where he would be crucified upside down. Faith in Jesus and his resurrection has been passed down for over 2,000 years to arrive with us at this present moment in history, where it is now our turn, my turn, to be a witness to Christ and to pass on the faith. If we had a looking glass to look back at the past, we would see the faith being passed on by men and women of every background and status: merchants, farmers, servants, shopkeepers, teachers, grandparents, parents, and people who were both married and single or widowed, as well as priests and religious. We are all called to give witness to our faith and to pass that faith on to others. And perhaps some of you remember in your old childhood, I can remember in my own childhood, being influenced by my great-grandparents and seeing them always praying the rosary, even though I was a naughty boy and I would ring the doorbell and then run away from the house when they came to answer. The first witness to the faith always starts at the home with the family. Each of us is to be a witness to the truth and transforming grace in my faith in Jesus. We can do this at home, at work, even in the grocery store or on the highway. Wherever we find ourselves is an opportunity for us to be a witness. In today's gospel, there are some beautiful things for us to reflect upon. First, Jesus greets the disciples not once but twice with the salutation, "Peace be with you." Why is this significant? Because they had abandoned him on Good Friday. All the disciples and the apostles fled in fear. Jesus does not bring this up to them and say, "Where were you when I was crucified? Why did you leave me?" He greets them with the salutation, "Peace be with you." To instill in them a confidence in his, encourage in his mercy. The same holds true to us. In our own sins and failures, Jesus encourages us and calls us to experience his blessing of peace, especially in the sacrament of confession. The other item that the gospel brought out is he commissioned them. He gave a divine mandate: go out into the world to preach the gospel. He called them and he calls us to share in his salvific work, in his redemption, and to bring his message of peace and salvation to the world. And all of us have been commissioned through our baptism. Thirdly, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, instituting the sacrament of confession. And this is a big one. In my many years as a priest, one of the things I've heard many Catholics say to me, oh, Father, I don't have to go to confession. I just go to God. This is a man-made thing. Confession was made by men. Today's gospel shows the divine institution by Jesus Christ of the sacrament of confession. It's not instituted by a man. It's instituted by Jesus Christ, that God wants us to experience his mercy in the sacrament of confession. God wants us to be assured of forgiveness and by going to confession for our sins. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you are retained, they are retained. Confession is not from man, it's from God. The sacrament confession is directly linked to Jesus, giving the apostles and subsequently all priests the authority to forgive sins in his name so that they may experience his mercy in a most intimate and powerful way through the sacrament of confession. It's also today important to look at the role of St. Thomas. St. Thomas is often called the doubting Thomas, but the doubt of Thomas is changed into faith. Our Lord says to him, do not be unbelieving, but believe, believe. Christ invited him to place his finger in his wounds, and Thomas' reply is an act of faith, an act of adoration, and of self-surrender. My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. That is a beautiful prayer, which we can also say when we receive Jesus in Holy Communion. My Lord and my God. It's the same Jesus whom Thomas saw that we're receiving in Holy Communion. And St. Francis would often stay up all night long just repeating those words, my Lord and my God. These five words are an inexhaustible source of inspiration and devotion. These words are a beautiful prayer that we can recite in moments of trial or in difficulty, my Lord and my God. For Thomas, his faith springs not so much from the evidence of seeing Jesus as from an immense sorrow. It isn't so much the proof as his love that leads him to adoration and to renewing his commitment to following Christ. It was by divine providence and not by chance that Thomas was absent when Jesus first appeared to his disciples in order that God's mercy would be made visible in the doubting apostle in an extraordinary way. When Thomas touched his master's wounded flesh, he cured the wound of disbelief. So the doubting disciple who actually touched became a witness to the reality of the resurrection. St. Thomas would spend the rest of his life being a witness to the truth of the resurrection. It's known that St. Thomas went on to found churches in what we know as modern-day Iraq, but ultimately, the Lord led him to India, where he preached the gospel in India, and it was there in India that Thomas gave the ultimate witness of his faith in Christ in his martyrdom. And so the relics and the shrine of St. Thomas the Apostle are actually in the country of India. He's considered the apostle to India. St. Thomas would teach us by this example the blessing we receive who have not seen but believe. Jesus blesses us in our faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Jesus blesses us and teaches us we are blessed in our faith in him, though we have not seen him. We must pray always to protect this gift of faith, especially in a world which often does not believe in Christ, does not believe in God, that we must strengthen this faith by daily prayer and renewing our commitment to following Jesus. Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, and it's an extraordinary gift to the church in our times and to all of us. Pope St. John Paul II declared the Sunday after Easter be called Divine Mercy Sunday. St. Faustina was a Polish nun who had received visions from Jesus, including one of Jesus wearing a white garment with beams of red and white light coming from his heart. which came to be known as the image of divine mercy. The words, "Jesus, I trust in you," were requested by our Lord as part of the image that is used for this devotion. When Pope St. John Paul was shot in 1982, while in the hospital, he requested the diary of St. Faustina to be brought to him, in which Jesus requested the second Sunday after Easter be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. It was subsequently by the authority of Pope St. John Paul II that this devotion of Divine Mercy was approved and promulgated. You might ask, Father, why are you spending so much time telling us about this? Because there's a very special grace that we can obtain today, a grace that if you do not receive, I just can't stress how great and extraordinary this grace is. Jesus promised a profound and immense grace to those who celebrate the Feast of Divine Mercy. This grace is the forgiveness of all sins plus the removal of all temporal punishment due to sin. This is essentially like the grace of baptism. We start with a clean slate. It's an extraordinary gift from the church in our times, approved by the Pope, which has never been seen, the likes of it have never been seen in the history of the church. Jesus promised St. Faustina that those who receive Holy Communion in a state of grace today would receive the complete remission of sins and punishment. This is an extraordinary grace. It means that if we do this devotion and we still need to atone for sins, that atonement is completely removed. So if I fulfill the conditions today, and if I should happen to die, I would go straight to heaven. I would not go to purgatory because all the punishment due to sin is removed. It's an extraordinary grace. To receive this grace, the only condition is to receive Holy Communion worthily in a state of grace today, and within a week before or after to go to confession and to stay in a state of grace, trusting in his divine mercy. Jesus is teaching us through this devotion to always trust in him, in his love for us. He wants to make it so easy for us to reach heaven. God is extending such a mercy to us. He wants to make it easy for us to reach heaven. And the sad thing is, most people don't think about heaven or long for heaven or desire heaven. And God is giving us this tremendous grace to make it easy for us to get to heaven. May we strive to carry the mercy of Christ to all whom we encounter. And may he help us to be faithful witnesses to him and to all the world. Lord, help me to give witness to you. Help me to live each day with renewed and courageous faith. Help me to trust always in your mercy and help. Jesus, I trust in you.